Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. A very warm welcome. I am in the studio today with Mark Sato, the creator of the Triad Mind. With over 30 years of experience in the recording arts and sciences, Mark has perfected the art of creating tools for transformation. Since 1977, his studies in meditations have provided him with insight into the workings of the mind and the nature of consciousness. As a professional musician and composer, he has obtained a unique understanding of the power of music and the power that music has to affect consciousness and mood. Welcome, Mark, to our show today.
It is very nice to be here with you, and thank you very much for the invite. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Me too, Mark. So I'd like to start in this very curious place of what is the triad mind? How can we understand this term and the work that you do with sound, meditation, and consciousness?
Well, the name came to me like so many other ideas, and it just sort of popped into my head. But I think its root comes from my own observation of my own personal consciousness. And as you said to your audience, I've been doing meditation for quite a long time. And I was very interested in this thing that we call consciousness, because that comes into the conversation when the word meditation is brought into the overarching topic. And I was curious as to what this notion was, what is consciousness? And from a very personal level, consciousness was divided for me into two parts, as I could understand it. And I think that those who are involved in the field would probably concur. There's something that we call the personal consciousness, and then something we call an impersonal consciousness. That personal consciousness is divided into two parts, which would be the conscious mind, that which we use in our daily awakening, walking around in our daily life, and the unconscious or subconscious, meaning below our conscious threshold of awareness, which motivates us and moves us through life. It colors how we perceive the world. There is another aspect of consciousness which has more of an Eastern flavor and is also spoken about by people like Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell in the Western world anyway, but the mystics in the East have talked about it forever, as being something, a sea in which we swim, rather than something that's generated by our personal minds or our personal brains. So the triad mind is actually, in my opinion, a compendium of that which makes up the whole of consciousness. There's the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the superconscious mind, to answer your question.
Beautiful. And how did your explorations into meditation deepen your work as a musician and as a sound engineer?
Well, I came into meditation specifically to actualize myself as a musician. I was very aware from a very young age that my affinity with music, my resonance with music was very strong. It would take me into places, even as a seven-year-old listening, to different places that I couldn't quite put a label on, but it made me not only feel good, it made me think differently, and took me into places that were transcendent of this thing that I called a self. So as I went through my young life and into my teenage years, I really decided that this is what I wanted to do. I knew from the deepest part of me that this was what I was going to do for a living for the rest of my life, my vocation. And I began to question with a lot of self-doubt, you know, came up in my early teenage years about how I was going to accomplish this, you know, because I just, you know, it was an uncertain world to begin with, and to make a living as a musician or a recording engineer, or I didn't even know what a recording engineer was at that time. But I was looking for something that could help me deal with the self-doubt and keep me focused on my goals. And I came upon a very westernized technique of meditation called the Silva Mind Control Method, which really dealt with that. And that simple meditation technique not only introduced me to all of the places where I could somehow shift my own self-doubt and my own beliefs around how difficult this might be to achieve, and to stay focused on the achievement itself, but it also introduced me to some transcendent states, which I didn't quite understand at the time, but I found it very relaxing and really touched a deep part within me that was fodder for exploration as I went on through my life.
So if I understand this correctly, that a lot of your research has been to support people or to teach people how to access and maintain awareness in these altered states of consciousness through using sound. Is that correct? So so you move from being a musician to being a sound engineer. Now, every singer knows out there, I am a singer, that sound engineers are basically gods walking on earth, because if you find a good sound engineer, they change the way you perceive and even sing. It's really a precious gift to be able to be a good sound engineer. And what happens when a person realizes that they can start accessing these altered states of consciousness or expand their consciousness only, and I really say that because people have been meditating for years and years and years, and my own experience with using some of these sounds is that it can go quite rapidly, that one can come very easily into a state of expanded consciousness. And so what happens to people who use, let's say, the Triad Mind, or there are other methods out there? Can you walk us through your research and your personal experience on how people can access and tap into these different states of consciousness using soundtracks, using sound?
Yes. Well, not only is music available to bring one into a not only a relaxed or excited state, conversely, but also various other sounds which are not necessarily, they don't invoke a lot of excitement. I came upon this work because I was a recording engineer. I felt I was living in New York City at the time, which is where I grew up, and I felt a strong compulsion to move to a little tiny town in or a college town, not too tiny, in Virginia called Charlottesville. And I started my recording studio there, my very first one. And one day, I can only call it synchronicity, serendipity, following one's bliss, etc. A fellow by the name of Bob Monroe called me up, and the folks who are attracted to my work will obviously know Bob Monroe's work. Bob had a recording studio where he was doing exactly this type of work, where he was using sound waves, which were mathematically pure, or sine waves, and he would detune them to create an oscillation effect. And if you wear headphones while you're listening to this, you'll hear a beating frequency. It's very slow wave activity, this beat frequency, that's also in resonance with brainwave frequencies. Now, if you've done any research at all into the correlation between brainwave frequencies and states of consciousness, you know that there are predominantly four, maybe five unique states of brainwave states, which are called delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma, gamma being the highest, delta being the lowest. Delta is usually indicative of N3 sleep or deep delta sleep. Beta and proportions of gamma are usually indicative of the experience of being wide awake and alert and conscious and walking through the world. But these two other states of alpha and theta are what they consider consciousness anomalies or altered states of consciousness. This is not to say that the brain necessarily goes into one particular brainwave state, but it's a predominant of frequencies that can be measured. And in the alpha state, most people's experiences, or when an alpha predominant state, the majority of experience is usually that of a daydreamy effect. It can range in experience. We all might produce more alpha wave activities when watching television or listening to music, where a lot of concentration or focus isn't required. Theta, going deeper down, we can also see alpha activity involved in people who are driving, for instance, when there is a long stretch of road and they're not really required to, focus intensely on the traffic or anything like that. And theta is usually a deep meditation experience where the subconscious mind is accessed. So giving you that sidebar of information to answer your question specifically, what I am doing is an extension of what I was doing with the Monroe Institute and Bob Monroe's work, where you take people into altered states of consciousness, predominantly the theta delta state, or what's known in clinical circles as the hypnagogic state. And that state of consciousness, the ego mind or the active monkey mind, as some people like to call it, tends to go to sleep, but only to a degree that you are still able to be in observance of the content. And the content of mind at that state of consciousness is usually coming from the subconscious realm, things that we would ordinarily access in sleep. So when I work with people, when I work with people who are interested in meditation, the first thing that I try to do is help them to get into this relaxed state and to remain aware. The second is to increase the observer phenomenon, which we can talk about if you understood everything that I've given you thus far, assuming you didn't have any questions.
Yeah. Okay. I have no questions. The theta state, we can sense that's kind of between the deep sleep and when we're waking up early in the morning, or when we're drifting into our sleep at night. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's kind of when we wake up early morning and our mind feels very open and fresh, and we have maybe some nice ideas floating through it. And
exactly.
But we're not yet awake, right? So
right.
Many of us that are artists out there, or people that have dreamed of composing, writing, creating big projects, which brainwave state might help them to be highly inspired and tap into that imaginative state with what they need to compose and write big works of art?
Right. I would say in between the theta and alpha range are good places to go. Yeah,
beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Is there a frequency that is optimal for our body, or is it really depending on which state we want to be in?
That is a lovely question. I can't answer that specifically, and I've pondered that for a long, long time. I suspect because it is different for each individual.
And then this is a very crazy question. with all these years of experience, Mark, what do you think is the source of vibration?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. That is a wonderful question. All right. I can give you a bit of conjecture and personal belief, but I can't give you any scientific evidence.
You're good. I love it. Yeah.
The source is your question. I will call that the divine, that which beyond that which is beyond the veil of time. However, I'm very grateful for time, because without time there would be no vibration. They could not be experienced.
Oh, that was so nice. I like that.
No, it's perfectly fine. I consider this a conversation rather than a monologue.
Without time, there would be no vibration. I love that, because there's
it couldn't
this
be
oscillating
experience.
Force.
Right. So the only thing I can call that source, Kara, is the divine God, that which lived beyond the Big Bang. And is simultaneously is also involved in this process of time. That which I refer to as the superconscious.
Yeah, I always hear sound and words. So I'm not a sound engineer. I'm a poet and a songwriter, and I always think divine and divide is very close. And when we take out the division, we end up in the divine. That's kind of my play, but it still doesn't explain to me where vibration comes from. But I love the thought.
It's a mystery wrapped within an enigma. And again, I'm more involved in enjoying the mystery rather than solving it, because I don't think it can be solved. But
exactly.
One day, perhaps I'll have the experience of what it means.
Exactly. We're going to take a short break and be back with Mark Sato and talks on the triad mind and sound consciousness.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of the stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live right here on Om Times Radio.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Cara Johnstead. You're at Voice Rising, and I am in studio today with Mark Sato, and we are talking all about sound and the beauty of living inside of a mystery. So, Mark, we are in this mystery. That's what you were talking about. And there's a lovely line, to truly live and not merely exist. You talk a lot about self-actualization in your work. Why are we so drawn to slow down and taste the mystery and really sense what our true essence is?
Well, I can only speak from my personal experiences to why I was distracted in my life to being drawn away from the mystery. And the root cause, as I understood myself, was my fear of time and the limitation of it, limitation and the unknown. So one of the beautiful things about a mystery and not solving it is that you have to learn to deal with the tolerance threshold of being with the unknown. And the word being is a very important word in that statement, because we tend to identify being with what we believe ourselves to be, rather than what we actually are. And that is the true mystery, is understanding who you are, what your connection to all of life is. Your being, yourself, your ego, whatever you want to call that, is in relationship to everything else out there. And it's that relationship, I believe, that is the single most important facet of what we are doing here in life, to be in full, authentic relationship to everything around us. And that includes all of the various aspects of the self. And when you get into this nature of curiosity as to what the self really is, you come to this very still point. I came to this very still point that I understand as the essence of my being, the essence of self. And that's a very different experience than walking around doing and being distracted by trying to fill the holes of what it means to be a self, walking, doing, living a life. That's the fullness of self-actualization. Maslow talked about self-actualization as the very top of a pyramid of fulfilling the hierarchy of needs, which is well known then. Now, of course, back in the day when I was looking to understand what myself was and how I was going to actualize into the world, I had no idea who Abe Maslow was or what his work was. But I knew that I had a need. I knew I had a deep desire, and that it came from someplace deep within me to bring the inside to the outside, to bring myself into the world. But I had to ask, what was this self that I was trying to explicate, to bring out, to actualize? And it was more than just a desire to be a successful musician. It was also a desire to express something that was deep inside me that has yet to see complete fulfillment. That's where all those creative ideas come from, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful when you're talking about filling up a hole. We really literally have a hole on top of our heart that we can fill up with stories, with light, with experiences, and also express that through our voice. And
absolutely,
when I was researching also your work, I thought it was so profound that you were sharing that many times when people start this work, they might just start relaxing, but at some point they realize that, you know, maybe they do have an outer body experience, or maybe they tap into a different energy field, or they come in that timeless space, and that literally changes their perception of what are they. Their belief system starts shifting because they can't anymore say, that I am only my physical body. somewhere they right. start to realize that, and that's what, when you're talking about, you know, releasing this concept of time. But I think what's so beautiful about the work is that we have to experience that. We can't only intellectualize it. You know, many times people are on the path and they're like, yes, there is no time, or, you know, somebody passes away, and then they might say, yes, but you know that they're present and in the room, and then they kind of bypass the grief. But once we've literally experienced it, we've floated in the mystery, we've dissolved into the mystery, and we've come back again into the physical body, we have a deeper understanding of our purpose here, our time here. Yeah.
So absolutely.
Profoundly beautiful. Do you think that the collective also has one soul or a collective soul?
I always say universe.
Yeah, I do too. Because unified, I'm always coming from the universe. So that it's almost a longing not only to experience ourselves for our own connection to ourselves and relationship to ourselves, but also in the relationship with the other and with our nature.
Absolutely. Well, the unity of the love experience between, you know, two romantic partners is a wonderful example of the potential for transcendence of the individual, mm-hmm. you know. When you're in that state, all there is the two of you completely unified with one another. And then if you've been in relationship before, you start to realize, that isn't always the case. As time moves forward, you begin to have mm-hmm. various conflicts that arise. But they're brought to resolve through that love experience that we all share with our romantic partners. And that is not really limited only to the potential of that experience is not only limited to a romantic relationship, obviously. There is you can be in love with everything around you if you fully understand the nature of the experience itself, not what prompted the experience. To be fully
yes.
with that experience. That's just yeah. a matter of shifting consciousness.
And I think also the work in the work of being meditators is so important in all of our relationships, especially our love affairs, because it's very easy to fall in love and get excited in the beginning. But in my own experience, the more I come into meditation and with people and friends and partners that are also meditative, the love is easier. It's a given. It's a quality. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's like highly recommended for everybody out there. If you are struggling in some kind of relationship, that one of the most beautiful things is just to come back to that meditative state every day, and also the creative state, but the meditative state every day, and it's just everything is easier and more in flow after that. Exactly.
Well, so, if you don't mind, I would like to interject the idea to your listeners who might not really understand what the word meditation truly means, because I'm always approached by folks who tell me, you know, I'd really love to meditate, but I can't clear my mind. And mm-hmm. I say, that's exactly the point. You know, mm-hmm. that it's a practice. That's what meditation is in general. And there are a lot of different methods and a lot of different teachings and a lot of different results, but the orientation is a practice. And I know in your work, you can hear somebody's wounds in their voice. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That is a quality of meditation. It doesn't require necessarily a deep altered state. It requires the ability to sit in the silence and do deep listening. Am I summarizing your work pretty quickly? Or
yes,
accurately?
Very quickly. Yes, accurately.
Right.
Yes.
And the ability.
Yeah, and the ability then to bring the people back in a full, a very full, open, rich frequency. And when they hear their own sound, it's like a biofeedback loop. They then heal very quickly because they hear their full sound.
Right. That's a form of sympathetic resonance and bringing it back into all this. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there is also, now that we're talking about love, there's the essence of probably each moment and every decision that we make is the choice between love or fear. What is your take on that? Exactly, well, that choice. No matter what choice we have in life, it seems like it's a choice of love, connection, connectivity, or I'm hesitant and I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, one can use that very simple phrase to be in observance of where they are. I tend to come from the understanding that love has, as I understand it on a personal level and an experienced level in the physical, the opposite of love is perhaps fear. But when you go into the impersonal, this idea of love, which is even higher than things that I've experienced in the physical, just in the mundane, I should say, is it has no opposite. So I struggle with that phrase, but I understand the sympathy, I sympathize with the phrase. I can understand it. I think it's most important to just be in observance of where we are. You can choose between love and fear, and it's also very helpful at the same time to acknowledge your fear, if you understand what I'm saying. You can sit there in relationship and say, you know, I feel afraid, I feel defensive, I feel anxious. I mean, fear has so many names that can be, or synonyms that can be applied.
And it might be good if we're standing on the top of a cliff and we have only 1 inch in front of us. It might be very natural to be afraid,
It is natural. And it's also natural in relationship if you feel threatened in any way. The question that I like to ask myself if I find that any fear or anxiety arises is to step back from it. I notice I'm feeling this way. And I notice also that my thoughts and my feelings are intertwined and connected. And if I just sit there and observe what's going on, that feeling and those thoughts go away. And then it becomes very curious about, or I become very curious about, who is it that's doing the observing, you know, of this thing that I call a self, you know. And that is a hall of mirrors that goes way back to the beginning of time, you know, into being. And when you reach that level of observance, how shall I say this? Love and fear no longer are so opposite one another. There's only what exists. And what exists as a transcendent understanding of being, when I get into a place of being beyond my ego constructs, there's only this thing that I can call love. And if I bring that into the present moment, fear dissolves. So what is fear?
Yeah.
If it can just be dissipated by something else. So the choice is choiceless in that state, you know?
Exactly. Surrendering to the mystery, that beautiful mystery. So how can sound and music give us access to greater freedom? I'm assuming you're going to say yes, but
Well, your question was how, and I believe that sound, especially the types of sounds that I'm using, are very helpful in bringing people into direct experience of what I'm talking about with essential being and developing an observer and coming into contact with that superconscious mindset. I don't even know what to really call it other than a mind, and the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and really develop this observer of what is truly happening in the present moment. Music is that can be very transcendent for a lot of folks. It certainly has been for me. But when what happened for me is I became so myopically focused on music, it became like air for me for a time, that it became a distraction, if you understand what I'm saying. So I couldn't sit in a restaurant, for instance, and be completely present with somebody and do that deep listening I was referring to before if there was music going on, because it would just draw my attention. So I had to literally learn to turn that off and just be completely focused on who I was being present with at first. Then, through expanding consciousness and being able to elevate or increase my threshold for tolerance of a lot of different stimuli, especially audio stimuli, I could then learn to hold the music in one place and still be focused on what was going on. And that really prompted me, that ability to train myself to do that, to understand that these three distinct levels of mind that I'm talking about are not really limited to any degree of separation. One can be aware of what is happening on the subconscious level, as well as the conscious level, as well as the superconscious level, all held within what is referred to as a present moment of awareness.
It sounds and like that a chord.
Yes, it is a triad. Exactly.
It sounds like a chord. Harmony.
It is. That's exactly it. You heard that.
I did hear that.
Now I'm curious to know. You heard that without my saying it. How did you know that?
Well, I know I work a lot, of course, triads. As a musician, we know triads, and I saw it also visually. I heard it and I saw it and I understood in that moment also that that we can play the notes singularly, and when we play it together, it is harmony. And the same is with the mind. You can go into the subconscious or the superconscious or the conscious, but when we are active at all, in all stratospheres at the same time, then we are in harmony and in alignment. Yeah. And we're going to take a small break, Mark, and we're going to come back. I'm enjoying so much talking with you. Mark Satter from The Triad Mind, and we're taking a break.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
As I'm sure you know, it is time to celebrate self-discovery and personal growth. But you know, your efforts have to be consistent in order to stay balanced and to overcome depression and fears. So, what new books are available? How do you stay centered? Elizabeth Joyce and her guests will help you find out. That's Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out, Mondays at 6 p.m. on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kara Johnstad. You're at Voice Rising, and in studio with me today is founder of the Triad Mind, Mr. Mark Sato. Mark, I came across these beautiful words on your, not on your homepage, but on your Facebook page, and they go as follows. I don't hope, wish, or pray, I know. I don't force, I flow. I don't control, I create. I don't chase, I choose. I don't struggle, I float. I don't hustle, I take aligned action. I don't play small and contract. I choose to expand. I love the words. I think they're anonymous. I tried to find the author. They might be yours. So
yeah.
They inspire me. And I want you to talk about this ability that we have to expand the mystery, expansion, and at the same time, the importance to anchor and understand that we are in a physical body and we must be here for a reason, because after we leave our physical body, we will continue the expansive mystery. But how can we find this beautiful flow between expansiveness and bliss and heaven at the same time, this still point and understanding that we are walking on solid ground here on Earth at this time together?
Well, the best answer I can think of in the moment is to, well, first of all, I didn't write that. I too was inspired to post it because I thought it was beautifully stated. But it's not only life on the Earth, consciousness in general, perhaps life throughout the cosmos, I can't speak intelligently on that yet, is not a process of merely expansion. I mean, I wish it was, because I really enjoyed the feeling of expansion. It is expansion, contraction, and stasis. Okay, we go through periods of all of it. So the best short answer I can give to anyone who's listening, who's asking that same question, is to be present with what is the truth of your experience in the moment. Are you expanded? Are you contracted? Are you in a period of stasis? Because then you can choose something different, perhaps. Perhaps you need to be in that period of contraction. Perhaps you need to be in that period of stasis, because I personally believe, and my personal experience is, that the best that I can do is to choose to align with that part of myself that has a greater wisdom than the small I doing the talking to you now. And that is a clear choice for me. I can say simply, I don't know what this is for. I don't know what to do with this. I need help. This is easily granted to anybody who asks, and has been professed in just about all the wisdom teachings throughout the ages. And there is even some scientific data to suggest that there is a part of us that, you know, from a psychological perspective, Jungian psychological perspective specifically, part of the collective soul that you mentioned before, will inform what it is that we need for ourselves in any given moment if we have the wisdom to know that we don't know. So being present with what you're feeling in terms of expansion, contraction, or stasis, just that simple action of observing and being present with it can shift everything. That is, and giving it away to that part of yourself that does not know, if you can tolerate that threshold of not knowing, which the ego cannot stand, my ego anyway, if you can expand yourself to at least offer that up, an answer comes. It may take some time.
That is so beautiful, Mark, because I think we are living in a world that is so There's so much self-optimization and always feeling that we need to move ahead and set goals, and just this allowance of being in contraction or being at that, yeah, at that still point. I think that is so precious. I mean, what I really appreciate about your work, besides the effect it has on people, is that you're continually curious, inquisitive, and keeping always the heart and the mind open for different revelations. And I think that is really something precious. That's very
well. It was hard earned. I can say this because the words "I don't know" are actually beautiful words, in that they can, at least for me, it motivated me. I don't know. What if, you know? And I proceed to act as if, you know, and I stretch myself and I expand and I push and I effort, and there's a limitation to that way of being. You can only go so far. Then life has to push you back a bit so that you can create that space between what you believe yourself to be and what you truly are. And that, in that space between the known and the unknown, lies what they call in third force psychology, I think, is a third thing. And it's a mystery what that third thing is, but it brings about a resolution. It brings about a stillness that you're forced into. Life has that ability, and I personally have learned to be in acceptance of it. And there are times where I find myself where I reject that notion wholeheartedly, and I want to push through it, but life doesn't let you do that, or it doesn't let me do that. You know, you have to be present.
Yes, and if we look at nature, it's similar, right? The ocean, it moves back, and then it goes towards the shore, and then it recedes, and then it dries up, and then it comes again, and then that's just how nature works. And
that's right. It's a cycle, like the vibration you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, like the voice also works like that.
Exactly. Everything does.
Everything works like that. What would you like to see happen in our world at this moment? We are, I want to say we're in all these evolutionary times, and at the same time, if we look back at history, we were always going through deep change. And
Sure. So
that is just also part of the ebb and the flow. What would you like to see happen? It seems like we have many more tools in the moment to support us in self-actualization and in creating a world at peace and in harmony, if we use them. What would your vision be of where we could take 2020 into the future?
I would love if everyone would just take a moment to pause and observe, rather than coming to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Pause and observe your reaction to all the things that you see, and don't come to a conclusion about what it is that you're seeing in order to make yourself feel comfortable. I would say that the most important thing that we can all do in terms of this consciousness evolution is to develop the consciousness of the observer. Pay attention. Do deep listening rather than thinking of a response. When you do respond, listen to the way that you're responding. Listen to the words you're using. Listen to the tone of your voice. Pay attention to what's happening in your own body. Pay attention at the responses of the person that you're relating with if there's someone else in the room. Notice how that vibration is happening. The more we observe the subtleties of the way that expand our own personal consciousness to examine the subtleties of what is happening, the more I believe we collapse that duality. And that duality, I think, is what is really trying to gather our attention right now.
Again, we come back to the word divide and divine.
Exactly.
Right? The division.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think That is so important. I remember a long, long time ago when I started out on this meditation journey and deep listening journey, somebody gave me the wise words. They told me the difference between reaction and response. And response has to do with deep listening and responsibility, of course, the word responsibility, the ability to respond can only be done if we take that pause that you're talking about. And absolutely, otherwise we're just simply reacting, and there is a different quality of response. One is
and
reaction.
The word reaction, it can be an anagram for the word creation. We are also created simultaneously, and we do this through reaction more so than intentional and aligned creation with that which created everything. So if we can learn to observe, we can become more intentional creators. If we learn to pay attention to the flow, we can be more intentionally and aligned with the source of creation.
That is stunning. That is stunning. I haven't heard that one before, and I love it. Reaction, anagram for creation. And somewhere you also were talking about in your work, Eden as a beautiful word to describe humanity's desire for peace, justice, equality, and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that Eden is a state of consciousness?
I do. A state of consciousness that we're all trying to get back to in some form or another, whether or not we truly notice that about ourselves. We all long for peace. I don't care what side of the political aisle you are on, or I mean, all you have to do is spend a few moments with the dying as they're going through that process, and you can see that they are having to let go of all the things that created, that was the tumult of their life and their identification. Mm-hmm. They're trying to prepare themselves to go back to a state of just being. The quest for Eden is, in my impression and my understanding of the scripture, is our deep knowing that somewhere deep inside of us, we are all connected to all things, including this thing that I'll refer to as the divine. And the story itself speaks to a desire for self-knowledge, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. the original divide, mm-hmm. is our plight, our struggle. In order to be a self outside of the divine, to experience what it means to be a self, is to walk away from the self in the same way that a child leaves the womb of the mother and no longer is unified with the mother, but feels that bond always. The expression of that in consciousness, I believe, at the superconscious and deeps, or what Jung had referred to as the collective unconscious, is this deep desire to know that self and to be unified with that self. And in my way of thinking, the only way to truly get there is not through reading books, although books can be very helpful, or listening to teachers talk about it, although teachers can be very helpful. It's to examine your own direct experience of what that longing for the reunification of the self or with the divine is through direct experience. That's the only thing that I can never offer to somebody. I can talk about these things forever, but until somebody has the experience of themselves, in which case no words are necessary, they won't truly know. You know?
And everything that is alive, again, has sound and vibration. And so I think what you're doing is you're bringing people quickly back to experience, at least, if they want to, if they wish to. harmony, and from there they can choose if they react or if they come back, or if they go into dissonance, or if they come back, if we can choose.
Yeah, so, and unfortunately, we do a dance. I do it myself. You know, there are times where I feel completely aligned and harmonious, and there are other times I do a dance with my own self that is disharmonious, and I have to stop. I fortunately have the faculties to be able to stop now and say, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's and it. Practice Why? Compassion, right?
Right.
Compassion
exactly.
For self-love and compassion. Exactly. So, Mark, say quickly your homepage for the people that are listening where they can get in touch with you.
It's www.thetriadmind.com.
Excellent. So, it's been a great pleasure to have you at Voice Rising on the show today with me. I have learned so much and I continue to learn. I would love for everybody to go out and check out Mark's work at The Triad Mind, and I hope to have you back again sometime soon.
Oh, well, thank you very much once again for the invite. It came out of the blue, thanks to a mutual friend, and I was very, very pleased for it, and it was very my great pleasure to get to know you. I look forward to hearing more about your work.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.